It's a typical southeast autumn day of whipping wind and driving rain as a small group gathers at the base of Mount Dewey above downtown Wrangell.
Thanks for joining us. This is our public walkthrough, the Mount Dewey Trail Extension, otherwise known as the Non-Motorized Transportation System.
After Wrangell Capital Facilities Director Amber Al-Haddad introduces the project, the group starts the hike up the forested hill. The existing Mount Dewey Trail snakes in a curve, sort of shaped like a foot, around the side and up the back of the hill, ending in an overlook platform set above town. Wrangell has a federal land access grant of just over $900,000 to expand the trail system by 3/4 of a mile. It will extend the trail down the backside of Mount Dewey across a muskeg and connect it to the road that leaps between the airport and town. The Mount Dewey Trail Extension has been in the works for almost a decade when the community first secured a National Park Service technical grant. Landscape architect Christopher Myrtle with Corvus Design and P&D engineers out of Juneau were hired early last year to complete the project based on plans that came out of that grant.
Well, welcome to the start of the new trail, the spur.
Myrtle says there's a lot of thought, planning, and engineering that goes into putting a trail on a fairly wild hillside and across a muskeg.
But really, you're looking at terrain natural features. You want to try to get a trail that has a level of difficulty, steepness, and look at the materials so that it matches your anticipated user of the trail. But you also want to make sure you have a good user experience, that you get to experience the landscape and cool things along the way. So all that kind of comes together. But our marching orders were to largely follow what had previously been done in the community and just tighten it up and clean it up a little bit and move away from the boardwalk down in the muskeg.
Myrtle says that includes a fair amount of footwork, literally, placing flagging tape one way, backtracking and editing the path, adapting and changing until it has the right feel.
You walk it many, many times to get the feel for the land and see where the trail lays in nicely.
Ballpark, how many times do you think you've walked this?
Put it this way, there's probably no footsteps here or trail here when we started. So you can see there's a pretty good trail established.
There's a rainbow collection of flagging tape along the brushy path. Red, blue, orange, pink.
For the most part, red is me.
Sometimes the process is intuitive. Al-Haddad refers back to the well-worn trail Myrtle pointed out.
As you leave that boardwalk, you can see it's fairly flat. Like, we were able to easily pick a line to follow across the slope here. And then the next hard part was just figuring out where to transition to the next level down below, So it was a lot of poking around and, well, maybe through here. Well, no, there's a big tree. That doesn't work. We don't want to cut that one down. And, just a lot of what ifs.
2/3 of the new trail will be aggregate or rock, and the rest step and run timber trail like the current Mount Dewey boardwalk. Further down the side of the hill, the path isn't as clear, save for the flagging tape. Yellowing Devil's Club and thick moss cover the ground beneath the typical Tongass mix of hemlock, Sitka spruce, and yellow cedar. There's a fair amount of scrambling. Community member Keith Appleman brings up the back of the small group. He's no stranger to trail planning. He worked for more than 2 decades in trails with the U.S. Forest Service and the local tribal government.
And everything naturally just wants to creep downhill, so side hill's always tough.
After a bit of slipping and sliding under and over logs and along the proposed switchback, the ground levels.
So now that we've come off the backside of Mount Dewey and the side slope is where we changed the trail into gravel. We've got gentler, flatter slopes through here.
Another minute of walking and the forest breaks. The ground begins to have the characteristic muskeg squelching, and the trees thin into scrubby lodgepole pines and other muskeg brush. This is where the traditional gravel trail will transition into what's called geocell. Myrtle explains it's a trail material that will sort of float over the muskeg.
So the idea is the geocell distributes the weight of the trail and keeps it separate as a matrix away from the organic. It just floats as one unit, and then it's got cedar edging on either side. So there'd be peeled cedar posts and then 12 inches of gravel. And the idea is it floats. It does slowly sink over time, but the idea is it creates a level, easier walking surface, easier on maintenance, and because it's gravel, it's not slippery.
So how much of the trail needs to be floated then over the muskeg area?
Any place you hear squish, squish, squish.
That's about 1/3 of the trail or 1/4 of a mile, through parts of the Muskegon, leapfrogging in and out of forested clumps, the trail has been moved 12 to 15 feet from the original plans to get it into more stable soils and closer to the city right-of-way between lots. Designers have also accounted for all the tiny drainages and waterways through the Muskeg.
So obviously here, when you've got a trail going across drainages, it can create a dam. So in these cases, you put some culverts in to get the water to allow it to flow through.
There's also at least one point where there will need to be a small footbridge to cross some running water. As part of the process to design the trail extension, Wrangell has had to seek approval from the United States Army Corps of Engineers and do some what's called compensatory mitigation for the impact to the wetlands. That'll cost about $24,000. This Muskeg isn't entirely pristine wilderness, though. It's already used by locals for motorized recreation. Appleman points out branches placed over some water as a makeshift bridge.
You can just see where they, you know, the logs and stuff put down there over the drainage from this local people that snow machine and run four-wheelers down here.
Back in 2014, during public listening sessions, Wrangell residents expressed serious concerns about how a trail could impact snow machining and other motorized recreating in the Muskeg areas. The trail funding is focused on non-motorized transport, but Myrtle says they're doing the best they can to accommodate everyone who ventures into the Muskeg.
The trail that we've laid in is pedestrian and isn't following the same circulation patterns as the snow machiners or the ATVers, but there are places where they cross, so we're looking to build up the trail in those areas so that in times that there's maybe not enough snow, that when the machines go up and over the trails, that they're not degrading the edges so much and trying to reduce some of the impacts to the wetlands.
Other parts of the planned trail route have already been used for non-motorized access as well. A set trail will help reduce the strain on wetlands from other foot traffic, Myrtle says, while also making it easier for people to get into the Muskeg.
So this segment, there already was a fairly well-worn game trail, pedestrian trail through here. So people are coming in here into these meadows, we know that.
The new trail will also allow for future expansion. Partway through the Muskeg, we make a turn, and Myrtle stops again.
This is what's going to be a larger arterial trail that connects Bennett or Airport Road that's going to run all the way over to Petroglyph Beach. But right now, we just have funding to take it to this point and run it up to Dewey.
That arterial trail will also be wider, 6 feet across, to accommodate heavier foot traffic and bicycles. Once the trail extension over to Petroglyph Beach is finished, the whole section cutting across the Muskeg will be wider.
There's a balance between impacts to the wetlands, because you have to put in for a core permit, available funding, you know, who are your users, you've got to balance all that.
And then the road, Bennett Drive, also known as the Airport Loop.
We've arrived.
The trailhead will include a few parking stalls, a doggy bag dispenser, and a park bench. The total projected cost is just over $1 million. That includes a short trail connecting the Volunteer Loop Nature Trail behind the elementary school to Ishiyama Drive, also known as Spur Road. Most of the funding will come from the federal land grant, along with around $100,000 from the borough and an in-kind match from the Forest Service of about $34,000 in labor. P&D engineers expect to have the 95% design done by November 25th. The borough would put the project out to bid in December or January, hoping to have a contract in place by spring. Then construction would follow next summer. Even with global supply chain issues, engineer Brendan Ivanowitz says they expect to be able to stick to that quick building schedule.
The materials are, you know, there's some geotextile fabric, there's a little bit of pressure-treated wood, but most of the materials are aggregate and yellow cedar that's available here in town, locally. So not a lot of lead time. So really, once the contract gets in place, some contractor will be looking for this project to build and he'll be out here right away. So yeah, we expect an early spring start.
There's been nearly a decade of planning, waiting, and revising to make this trail extension a reality, says Al-Haddad with the Wrangell Borough.
So in the end, if we construct by this next summer, 2023, it will have been a 10-year project, planning and construction project.
In the world of capital projects, though, Al-Haddad says it's actually a fairly average timeline, and it's worth the wait to find the proper funding and do the process right to let Wrangell Trail users experience a bit more of the forest and wetlands just outside their doors. In Wrangell, I'm Sage Smiley.